Remain standing and pray with me. Holy Spirit, open my lips. Give me your words to speak this morning to instruct us in the deep things of God, but also, Lord, the good news that transforms our lives. Give us listening hearts, and open ears, Lord, to receive the message this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Yes, I know you're looking around and you're wondering, well, my goodness gracious, what happened to Christ Church? Well, on January the 5th, I finally made a little video about it, what I had felt the Lord laying on my heart, which I really did feel like it was a prompting of the Holy Spirit, that we were going to see COVID sweep through our church, just roll through Christ Church. And so I got that video out. It dropped a little bit after noon. And right after that went out, I started getting the phone calls. So we have lots of people out with COVID. Father Benji is out with COVID. All of our catechists were out with COVID. But the good news is it seems to be the milder corona variant, and people are healing up pretty quickly. And so I think, God willing, once we get through this variant, we will be out of the acute pandemic phase, and God has spared us, and we will go into more of a normal life once again, which would be kind of nice. Because I'm tired of 2020 just going on year after year after year. It's time for it to stop now. Some years just don't want to give up. Well, today is a special day on the calendar. It is the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord. That's why we hear all the baptismal language. In fact, that's one of the reasons why there's a baptismal font and the baptismal Paschal candle are out. We had a baptism at the 9 a.m. service, which I'm going to refer to extensively over the next few minutes because it's very relevant to us this morning as we gather for worship. But you know, that Feast of the Baptism of the Lord is perhaps one of the most overlooked of all the Christian holidays, even though we do celebrate it at Christ Church every year. Maybe it's because it lives in the shadow of its big brother, the celebration of the Feast of the Epiphany. You know, we have carols. We have like Christmas carols for Epiphany. We Three Kings, all 76 verses of it, that, you know, once you start, it's like singing the 12 days of Christmas only as a hymn, and it just goes on and on and on, and there's probably people who started back on January 6th and are still singing that song. But there aren't any well-beloved Feast of the Baptism of the Lord carols. We just don't have those. We have songs about the feast day, but they're not on the level of a Christmas carol. And yet this day really is actually linked. It's connected to our feast, the celebration we had on January 6th, the Feast of the Epiphany, because both of these celebrations are about God. Listen, they're about God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ. So on Epiphany, we celebrated that God the Son is manifested. He is made known to the Gentiles, who are represented by those three kings who came to visit the baby Jesus and to offer him gifts. God reveals him to the wise men. That is we call that a theophany. God's self-revelation is a theophany. And that theme of theophany, God's self-revelation, is amplified. It's taken up a notch right here in the baptism of Jesus. How can I say that? Well, we heard it read this morning. The fullness of the Holy Trinity, the fullness of the Trinity is actually revealed, manifested right before our eyes in that passage. God the Son is baptized. God the Holy Spirit descends upon him as a dove. And God the Father speaks from heaven. So in that passage, in that one little account there in Luke chapter 3, we see the Trinity revealed. And that's why in the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Feast of the Baptism of our Lord is a part of what they call the Theophany Feast, the Theophany Feast. We, on the other hand, are Southern Orthodox, so we have our own ways. Now, we can delight in and we can glorify God for all of his self-revelation and in this wonderful celebration, but there's more to this, more to the baptism of the Lord than just theological reflection. There are deep truths that flow from the baptism of Jesus and that apply directly to you and me, our baptisms, and yes, to the baptism of David Samuel Altheiser, who was baptized in the first service. So I want to take a look at those baptismal truths that we celebrate today. And here's the very first one I want you to consider. In his baptism, this is really cool, in his baptism, Jesus renews and hallows. In other words, he makes holy. Jesus renews and makes holy his creation. You know, the account, and how can I make that connection? Well, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, to the creation account, the creation poem there in Genesis 1, we hear these words about the Holy Spirit. The account of creation begins with the Holy Spirit doing what? He's hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 1, verse 2. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was covering the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In the same way, we see creation imagery in the accounts and the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, of Jesus' baptism. And in those accounts, once again, the Holy Spirit hovers over the waters of the Jordan at that point, in the form of a dove. Once again, as on the day of creation, God speaks. But this time, in this new creation moment, Jesus Christ, the incarnate Word of God, enters the waters to renew creation and to make it holy. As I've said before, listen, when Jesus was baptized, it wasn't so much that Jesus got wet, but that the water got Jesus'd. Okay? It wasn't so much that, and when Jesus got baptized, it wasn't so much that the water, that Jesus got wet, but that the water got Jesus'd. And that is a recurring theme among many early Christian teachers. St. Maximus of Turin, I know you're very familiar with him, as we all are. No, I've just heard about him this week, thank you. St. Maximus of Turin writes, someone might ask, why would a holy man, Jesus, desire baptism? Listen to the answer. Christ is baptized not to be made holy by the water, but to make the water holy, and by cleansing to purify the waters which he touched. He makes the water holy. St. Gregory of Nazianzus takes up that same thing. Listen to what he says. As a man, Jesus was baptized, but he absolved sins as God. He needed no purifying rites, baptism for himself. His purpose was to hallow water. So do you see what that means? It means that God has reclaimed, and when Jesus is baptized, when he's immersed in the waters of the Jordan, God reclaims his fallen creation. And even though it says in Romans 8, 19 through 22, that creation groans, creation is groaning to be set free from death and decay and to be fully renewed, even though creation is groaning for those things, creation is not evil. God still calls his creation good, and he puts the exclamation point to that when Jesus goes down into the waters of the Jordan. You know, creation could not heal itself or free itself from the corruption caused by our rebellion. It didn't have the power to do that. God had to act sovereignly, and this is very important. It's going to be an important connection. God had to act sovereignly, independently by grace. God had to take the initiative, and that's what he did when he came to be baptized. And because Jesus entered into the waters of the Jordan at his baptism, he has renewed, and this is so important for us, he has magnified the natural world's ability to transmit God's grace into our lives. That was God's purpose in creation. His baptism, Jesus' baptism, made plain water capable of being a means of grace, a means of transmitting the life and power of God into our lives. That's what Jesus was doing when he was baptized. And also in his baptism, Jesus identifies fully with sinful humanity. In his baptism, Jesus identifies fully with sinful humanity. In Luke chapter 3, we just heard it, verse 3, it says that John went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So who has come to John for baptism for the remission of sins? Who's coming? Sinners? That's who's coming? Horrible sinners just like me and you coming to John for baptism. And you know, Isaiah, and Jesus comes to be baptized as well. How strange is that? Well, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12, what does that say? It says, speaking of the coming Christ, of the suffering servant, he was numbered among the transgressors. He was numbered. He was counted. He was numbered among the transgressors. Where is Jesus? He is outstanding among that number of transgressors, the tax collectors and the soldiers and all those people who were coming to John to be baptized. You know, in Luke 3, verse 21, it makes that explicit. I mean, I want you to see that Luke is making that connection. It says, now when all the people were baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized. See how he reunites Jesus to us in his baptism. In the Gospel of John, in John's version of the baptism, we don't really see the baptism of Jesus. But what we do see is surrounding those events, and it's told from the perspective of John the Baptizer. And this is what it says in John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, he, John, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, listen to what he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So in his baptism, Jesus, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God fully identifies with you and me, with sinful humanity, so that he can take away, he can be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of humanity. He's covering himself with that. As a matter of fact, that's what Paul's referring to in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who knew no sin. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So by identifying with his fallen human creation, God in Christ demonstrates, he demonstrates incredible humility and self-emptying love. It's just like it talks about in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. He emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant. So he certainly does. But these things are not just limited to the past actions of Jesus in his earthly ministry. No, not for us. They are living, please listen, they are living realities for all of us who have gone down into the waters of baptism with Jesus. These truths apply directly to every one of us who have been baptized, and they directly apply to David Samuel Altheiser, who was baptized in that font just an hour or so ago. You see, just as Jesus did to creation when he was baptized, remember, Jesus renews and hallows creation when he is baptized, just as Jesus did when he was baptized, in our baptism, this is the connection, in our baptism, Jesus makes us a new creation and hallows us. We call baptism the sacrament of the new birth. That means that when we receive the sacrament rightly, when we receive it rightly, with faith and repentance, God makes us new. And again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. So God, listen, God works in our baptism. Think about how Jesus, when he was baptized, creation couldn't do anything for itself. The Maker, the Creator, had to come. And likewise, God works in our baptism, not because we are able, but because Christ has acted on our behalf to save us. Baptism reminds us that we can't fix ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't make ourselves new. God alone has the power to do that, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We all come to baptism with the exact same ability to save ourselves as baby David. And if you don't know, David Altheiser was born with some profound birth defects. He's never going to have all the capacities of a child that we would hope to see. David came to baptism in a way that revealed his unique helplessness. But I want you to know that none of us here has any more ability to do anything for ourselves than baby David, with all of his profound difficulties, does. We are equally in need of God's action on our behalf, God alone. We all come to baptism with exactly the same ability to save ourselves as baby David did this morning, which is none, no ability to save ourselves. You know, it is especially poignant and proper that we did baptize baby David today. I want you to get to know him through these words a little bit. David, your new brother in Christ, has an almost unique set of birth defects. And while David keeps doing normal baby stuff like living, which the experts said he shouldn't be able to do, he will more than likely never have the full set of abilities that we want all our children to have. In other words, listen, David shows us what we all need. David needs to be made a new creation. Jesus began the new creation when he was plunged into the waters of the old creation. And as we baptized David, God's whole church saw how much we need that new creation to come to completion. God has especially, I hope you understand this, God has especially honored you, Christ Church, that David should be among you. He has especially honored us, that this child would be a part of our family. We see through David how much we need the new creation to come, that everything isn't all right. David's mother, Rachel, wrote a beautiful article about her son. It was published in the Plow magazine. It's the magazine that the Bruderhof puts out. And it's a long-standing publication, and I love it. And I was amazed. I'm not amazed, but I was delighted to know that one of our own got published there. And we've given you links to that and also sent you an abstract of that article as well. But David's mother, Rachel, said those things beautifully when she writes this. She said, "Not only is creation groaning for our Lord to appear in glory, but my son desperately needs the renewal and reordering that Christ the King, triumphant on his throne, will provide. The little broken body of my son points to both the Christ child and Christ the King in ways my healthy children never have. As the song says, when Mary looked upon her little baby, she saw the face of God. I too see the face of God in my son. God's reflection and fingerprints are all over my boy, from his eyes to his cleft, reminding me of the deeper magic hidden by Christ within his frail flesh." For David, his new creation began just like your new creation began when he was baptized. Now, I don't know what that meant. It means exactly for David, okay? But I want you to know with my own eyes, I have seen God bring about new creation promises in the bodies of other broken children brought to the waters of baptism. What? Let me be specific. I've seen God heal babies through baptism. Seen it. Watched it happen. I'm a witness to what God can do in this font. Because this is what we're talking about. In Jesus' baptism, new creation. In our baptism, because of him, new creation. David is for the glory of God. Others will worship God because of him. Because like the glow of dawn on the horizon, that glow is the promise of a coming morning. The early light of God's promise of a new creation shines through every baptized person. You know, in our baptism, Jesus renews us and he makes us holy. In our baptism, Jesus renews us and makes us holy. David needed to be made holy, set apart, and precious to God, not common, not unclean, not unwanted, but rather God's beloved son with whom he is well pleased. Did you know that David's name is so weird that, I mean, we could call this baptism with the Lord Sunday. We could also call it David Sunday. Because, you know, David is in the psalm. David got baptized. Father David did the baptism. It's David Sunday. And the very name David, do you know what it means? My beloved. Did you know that? Beloved. And do you know, it's so proper that David, this child with these profound needs and defects, was baptized, set apart, made holy on this day, on the day of the Lord's baptism, because what does God say to Jesus? He says in our passage this morning, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. Or, you are my son, the David, with whom I am well pleased. That same voice speaks to every one of us who have been baptized, and it spoke to David this morning. In his baptism, Christ fully identified with us. Remember that? In his baptism, Jesus fully identifies with us. In our baptism, likewise, we are fully identified with Jesus. We put him on just as he put on our flesh when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the womb of the Blessed Virgin. We put on Christ when the Holy Spirit overshadows the womb of the font of holy baptism. Galatians 3:27, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's what the Bible says. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when God looks at little baby David, he doesn't look and see a cleft palate and eyes that don't see properly. God sees Jesus. God sees Jesus. And when God looks at you, baptized, born again, follower of God, he sees Jesus. And just as a broken jar leaks its contents, in David's baptism, that means his broken places will be where Jesus leaks out of him into a world that needs Jesus. And just as a broken jar leaks its contents, the Jesus in you leaks out of your broken places too. They are not for your shame. They are for his glory. They are not for your shame. They are for his glory. Jesus's public ministry as the anointed one of God, the Messiah, began at his baptism. At our baptism, we are publicly marked as being in Christ, and we are united to his ongoing ministry through the church. When you were baptized, brothers and sisters, God commissioned you as he commissioned his son Jesus for ministry. It starts at the moment of baptism. So I'm sorry, you know, even baby David, he's got to go to work now. He's got a ministry, and he's doing it. I look forward to seeing what God has called in him and realizes in him as he begins his David's baptized life among us. And as we look at David and as we look at one another, let's remember that we've been commissioned too. Yeah. And that God is calling us to live out the life of Jesus in the world today in the same way that he commissioned his son at his baptism in the Jordan. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.